Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
You know, in that intro, Logan, I trash on the Cardinals not being able to beat the Tigers. I'd love to face the Tigers right now.
I bet you would.
Considering what I've been watching unfold in St. Louis for the past 2 nights, facing off against the Brewers. Oh, man. We'll get into that here in a second, but welcome to the Thursday edition of the Rookie Sports Report Podcast. Matthew Rizzo alongside Logan Weber here. We're, of course, presented by ESPN The Jock on our post-futury, but we're also now on Spotify and other various streaming services. We're going to try in the future to get on Apple Podcasts, though we've had a bit of a issue there today trying to get into that. Technology is so frustrating yet so revolutionary in many ways. You're just like, wow, we can do this with technology? And then you try to do something as simple as pay a subscription for ESPN Plus or try to get your podcast on Apple iTunes. Logan's about ready to deck me right in the face, looking right at him. He's giving me that death stare right now.
I've given up. I've given up on technology today. I paid for an ESPN Plus subscription because, you know, that's the beauty of ESPN. They're a $1 billion company, yet they still want me to pay $70 to read an article. So, you know, I finally broke down because, you know, working at a sports radio station, working in sports every day, there's so many articles, so many things I see on ESPN Plus that I want to be able to read. I want to be able to read this article from Todd McShay or Mel Kiper or whoever it might be, Jackie McMullen, whoever. And I can't read it because there's this ESPN Plus subscription that blocks me from, right? I can read like the first 3 paragraphs and then I can't read the rest of it.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating because it's like a 30 paragraph article. I want to read the good stuff because ESPN knows that they're not going to hit you, right? They're going to bury the lead. That's what they do with these articles. They don't give you the great information first because then you wouldn't pay for the subscription. So I finally broke down and bought it, and it works on my phone. ESPN Plus is working just fine on my phone this morning, but it won't work on my computer, which is what I paid for the subscription on, was my laptop, and it won't work. I tried to get our podcast on ESPN Plus this or on Apple Podcast this morning, and it wouldn't work. I tried to download an app, and it says that the servers won't work, so I can't use the app. I've given up all hope this morning on technology as I sit here in front of a microphone and talk into this nice, brand-new piece of technology that's sitting right in front of me. So I guess I haven't completely given up because you can't.
Not yet.
I'm not.
But just making sure.
I'm not Amish, so I can't just completely not use technology. Otherwise, you know, life would cease to exist for me. But I'm very, very frustrated with technology right now.
There's so much you can use with just technology or electricity or just anything like that. Yeah, I couldn't survive a day without technology. Can't survive 5 minutes without looking at this little, what would you call this, like 6, 7, 8-inch rectangle called a cell phone. Can't go 5 minutes, hell, 5 seconds without looking at it. Right now I'm looking at my Facebook feed. First thing I see is a post one of my friends shared. In a span of 17 years, 114 people have died in a weightlifting accident. In that same 17-year span, only one man has died while eating a donut. Life is about your choices we make. Educate yourself.
That's an interesting statistic.
Yeah. And that's the first thing I'd see when I open up Facebook.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that is an interesting statistic. But hey, I mean, I guess you're less likely to die eating a donut than working out, which is kind of common sense. A lot of things can happen in the weight room. But I digress. Now I'm kind of scared because I still have to do a second workout today after this podcast, which is going to be a shorter one because we have another group coming in here to the Jock Studio going to shoot one of their podcasts. Our boss, Tom Ladd, giving us that information right before we started. And well, you got to do what the boss man says in order to stay in a business, whether it's radio or anything else. So we'll keep it short and sweet. Of course, today is also Therapy Session Thursday, so we'll get into that. I got mine from last night. It actually occurred this past week while I was working out, so I know I've you know, complained and moaned a lot while people were walking the track and just doing my workouts. Well, now I have a new one, a new episode on the Frizz's Workout Chronicles, or whatever you want to call it. But
is that what we're going to call Therapy Session Thursday? We're just gonna start calling it the Frizz Workout Chronicles?
Yes, absolutely.
Like it's the spinoff of a series of unfortunate events. It's just a spinoff of Lemony Snicket's. A series of unfortunate events is the Frizz workout exploits. I love it.
Fair enough. You know what's really unfortunate? Losing games you shouldn't have. And the Chronicles did that last night, losing last night 6-4 to the Milwaukee Brewers. Chronicles had a 3-0 lead early on. Brewers came back. It was 3-2 heading into the ninth. The Chronicles used their overcooked, overused closer, Alex Reyes. Gives up a solo shot in the ninth inning. Game's tied at 3. All right. Game's not over. You know, whatever. He comes back out for a second inning. And that went as bad as well as you can think. Brewers then score 3 runs in their half of the 10th. Cardinals only score 1 in their half of the 10th. And they lose again. They shouldn't have, winning 6-4. Cardinals were supposed to win this game. There's no other explanation for it. They were supposed to win this game. You got to Freddy Peralta early with 3 early runs. He had to leave due to an injury that he got while batting, which is just another proponent of the DH coming to the National League. And the Cardinals don't do anything offensively the next, you know, 7 innings, which is strange because usually when you think about the Brewers bullpen, you think of 2 dominant guys, Devin Williams and Josh Hader, and then just a bunch of role-playing guys. Well, look, the Brewers did a great job bullpen-wise. I applaud them for that. Josh Hader wound up getting the win, and Devin Williams got the save. But you shouldn't have lost that game from a Cardinals standpoint. Jack Flaherty did his job, Cardinals starter. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, walked 1, struck out 8. Genesis Cabrera did his job, pitched a scoreless 7th inning. Giovanni Gallegos did his job, and he's been slightly overused. He's been kind of showing a bit of a downward trend, but he did his job, scoreless 8th inning. And then Reyes, who is about as overused as all of them, comes in, gives up the solo shot, then really just compounds his mistakes, makes an error, gives up 4 runs, which somehow only one of them was earned. I'm pretty sure it's the home run, and gets the loss. In a game the Cardinals should have won. They needed to win that game. They should have won that game, and they didn't. Plain and simple. So
they lost because of their fielding.
Yeah, which is really strange because usually whenever you think of Mike Schilt kind of Cardinal baseball, you think of good fielding teams. Usually the Cardinals have been in the top, you know, 10, 15 in Major League Baseball in fielding percentage. Yet their defense has been somewhat atrocious, which is really strange considering the fact that you have Arenado and Goldschmidt at the cornerstones of that infield. It's frustrating. I've lost hope.
3 errors, which led to 3 unearned runs, which lost you the game.
Yep.
You know, it's got to be a frustrating concept if you're a Cardinals fan, because really they lost 6-4. Only 3 of their runs were earned. The 2 that Flaherty gave up, and then the solo shot that Reyes gave up in the top of the ninth, which is frustrating in and of itself. You had the win, and Reyes gives up the solo home run, and that's it. It's sort of over, because Garcia was hitting bombs last night. He had a 2 home run game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things. You had just frustration on top of frustration. You know, we mentioned Paul DeJong yesterday. 0-for-3 yesterday. He's now batting below the Mendoza line. You know, I've complained a lot about Hunter Dozier, but Hunter Dozier now has a higher batting average than Paul DeJong does. Dozier's batting .207, which is still horrendous. DeJong batting .199, which is awful. Jack Flaherty's batting .118. Paul DeJong's batting .199. I mean, yeah, I understand that it's an 80-point difference in batting average, but Jack Flaherty's a pitcher, okay? And the fact that DeJong is in the same, he's in the ones. He is batting .199, Jack Flaherty .118. They are in the same range right there. I mean, that's disturbing.
Atrocious.
In and of itself. Nolan Arenado was awful yesterday. 0-for-4.
And he got ejected.
And he got ejected after he decided to just go ahead and, go with the hat trick, strike out 3 times.
Two of them were via the check swing, and he had beef with the umpire about that. So And it's just, it was frustration among other things.
It was. They struck out, Cardinals players struck out 11 times. Milwaukee struck out 13 times. So I don't understand where the issue comes into play there. It's just, it's one of those things that it just, yeah, like you said, it compounded. It went from bad to worse. And you've now squandered a great opportunity to win a series or at least avoid getting swept by the team that you're trying to catch in the division. And now, I mean, you really, really have to, obviously, but if you lose this game tonight, which it seems like they might, mm-hmm. with Brandon Woodruff on the mound
of course.
For Milwaukee, if you get swept in this series, I don't want to say that it's a dagger, but it very well could be.
I think it
that
will
be. That very well could be the nail that the As nail a Cardinal that fan, has driven the it coffin. Is.
It totally is. For a division. Now, somehow, some way, they're still in contention for a wild card spot. Only 4 games out there. And, dude, this past week, the 2 teams that the Cardinals are trying to chase right now, obviously the Dodgers have the number 1 spot, but the Padres have number 2, Reds have number 3. Reds are the first team out, you could say. And the Cardinals are the second team out. The Reds are hosting a series with the Cubs, and the Cubs have won that series. To my knowledge, the Reds have lost 2 games in that series to the Cubs. And the Rockies right now are hosting the Padres, and they've won a series there. So, the Cardinals, and I know they're facing the Brewers, I understand that. But the Cardinals are squandering opportunities. Okay, yeah, you're, what, now 11 games back of the Central? 12 games 12. Back, excuse me. Yeah, that sounds any better. You're squandering opportunities not only in the division, but now in the wild card because Cubs, Rockies, they shouldn't be beating the Reds and the Padres. They shouldn't. But you are being so self-detrimental with losing these games that you shouldn't have lost. Obviously, yeah, you think about Brewers and Cardinals this season, the Brewers are going to be favorites. But I legitimately thought last night the Cardinals were favorites in that game because they had Flaherty going. And early on, they looked like the favorites. They were up 3-0. And then they blew it. Lose it. Kablew it. 6-4. But that's baseball.
So if you think about it.
And if Paul DeJong is still on the team next year and they don't go after a star shortstop in free agency nor trade deadline, Mozeliak needs to be fired.
You had
on
one
the spot.
And you had one and you let him go. You had Colton Wong and you let
yeah,
him
he
go.
He was a second baseman. I'm talking about
he
shortstop.
He played middle infield, though. He played second. He played shortstop, too.
I don't
a
think he
bit.
Played shortstop that much.
He did
may
not
have.
Much, but he did a little bit, right? They would play whenever they had like situations with Matt Carpenter. They would occasionally switch that.
I remember when this was so Matheny ball. He put Colton Wong in center field one time. I'm dead serious. For a series against the Cubs, they put Colton Wong in center field. Yeah, that's how desperate the Cardinals were and are now. So yeah, if they don't get a shortstop like say a Carlos Correa or just some one of those all-star shortstops in free agency, and Paul DeJong is still your starting shortstop at the beginning of the 2022 season, put Mozeliak's head on a pike.
Wow! Here was what I was saying: if you lose this game tonight, if the Cardinals turn around, they get swept tonight, you're now 61-59 on the year, which.
It's still above 500.
Still above 500, but you're now 13 games back with 42 regular season games left in the season.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, if you win, you're still 11 games back, but that's a little bit less insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
But 13 games back with 42 games left in the year, that's pretty insurmountable.
Yeah. Now, I will.
You could go 30-12 legitimately and still not gain, I mean, yeah. And still be out.
Yeah.
You could get within 5 games. But it still wouldn't be enough.
Right. Yeah, I've completely just lost the division. I think it's a wash. The Brewers have a pretty somewhat easy schedule coming up. And then, yeah, it's just with their 3 pitchers, Burns. Now, Peralta's now injured, so I don't know his status. And now Woodruff, who the Cardinals are facing tonight. Yeah, it's hard for them just to not. It's hard not to see them winning the division.
Yep.
Because they're not only up 12 games to the Cardinals right now. They're up 9.5 to the second place team, which is the Cincinnati Reds.
Looking at it right now, the top available shortstop coming up in free agency is going to be Marcus Semien.
Get him. Make sure he is on the birds on the bat.
The risk that you're taking.
What about Trevor Story? Isn't he a free agent?
He could be, but according to this list, I don't see him on here. And this is through SpotTrack. Nolan Arenado is also a free agent.
Well, he can opt out.
He can.
Of his contract.
Which that, he might.
If he opts out, legitimately, if I were Bill DeWitt Jr. or Bill DeWitt III, whoever the hell runs the Cardinal ownership right now, fire Mozeliak immediately. Because I know that Trey was basically a steal, and we're getting Arenado for free because the Rockies are paying for him this year. It was basically more of a salary dump.
Okay, so looking at it now, Trevor Story is a free agent. Corey Seager, also a free agent, which, I mean, that could be a distinct possibility. So is Carlos Correa. Javier Baez is a free agent.
He plays for the Cubs, then the Cardinals, that'd be pretty fitting.
Well, I mean, the Cubs did trade him. So, you know, he may go to St. Louis just to say, just to, you know, flip a particular finger at the Chicago Cubs organization.
You know, Baez strikes out a lot, and that's one of his main deficiencies. But trust me, I would rather see him bat like 250, 260, hit 30, 35 bombs, drive in, you know, 90 to 95 and strike out 200 times, and watch Paul DeJong continually swing and miss at everything he sees and bat below the Mendoza line.
And the other aspect of that is, if you get Javier Baez, yes, he strikes out a lot, very similar to Paul DeJong. But he's also a massive upgrade at the shortstop position in terms of his fielding ability.
And he can play anywhere else on the diamond.
Right. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, he has struggled, especially in New York with the Mets. The Mets may not be inclined to even try to re-sign him with the way he's performed since the trade deadline. He's only played in 10 games with the Mets, and he's got a 171 batting average. He's struck out 14 times. He's only got 6 hits. He's struck out double digits, twice as many times as he has hits. That's not great. He's never batted above 290 in his career, but he hits home runs. He had 34 home runs in 2018, 29 home runs in 2019, and he had 22 home runs last year, or this season, just in Chicago before being traded to the Mets. So who knows how that situation is going to unfold, but I agree with you. I think coming into this offseason, the Cardinals need to make a change and bring in a different shortstop and possibly a different second baseman if you can swing it too, because Matt Carpenter hasn't been the answer either.
Yeah, and they're going to get rid of his salary. And hell, I would put Tommy Edman at second base and then just have an outfield of Carlson, Bader, and O'Neill.
Right.
Because that's their best outfield. Like, Bader has shown now flashes that he can hit, which fans have been waiting for. So has O'Neill and so has Carlson. So put Tommy back at second, put Tommy Edman back at second, and then go after a shortstop. Oh, think of an infield of Arenado, Baez, Edmund Goldschmidt. Ugh. Ah!
And you know, I mean,
but it's never going to happen because John Mozeliak's the GM, unfortunately.
It's true. He's not ready yet, I would say, but could there be a possible answer in the form of Nolan Gorman?
Not yet. Maybe. Just maybe. Because they have been working him out at second base. And he is at the AAA level. So, you know, maybe he could. Maybe he could be in a situation kind of like what Bobby Witt Jr. is. Now, obviously, Witt is much more of a prospect than Gorman is, respectfully. But you could be in a situation where he could be your opening day second baseman, which is really, really tough on a rookie, in my opinion.
It is. It absolutely is. He's batting 251 right now in Memphis. He was batting 288 in Springfield,
yeah.
So there has been a little bit of a drop in performance, which is to be expected when you go up a level, better competition, you know,
sure.
More experienced guys up in that AAA level than in AA. But, I mean, 251 is nothing to shake your head at.
No, and it's his first year there in AAA.
Right.
I would say if I were the GM, and I'd love to be the GM of the Cardinals, but anyway, if I were the GM, I would start Gorman in AAA and have, like, Edmund there at like second to be a fill-in. And if Edmund is struggling or Gorman is just absolutely raking in AAA, then call him up for the 2022 season.
Yeah. That could legitimately be an answer for this team. It's something needs to be done though. And I don't think there's anybody that's arguing that point either, is that middle infield especially has got to change. And then, you know, if you decide that you want to get a shortstop, but maybe not a second baseman, because there are some reliable second basemen that are going to be free agents. Jerickson Profar in San Diego, Chris Taylor, Starlin Castro, Brad Miller, Joe Panic. There's guys that you can get in the second at second base.
Brad Miller was a Cardinal last year, and Mozeliak decided to not bring him back. Now he's raking with Philly.
Right. It's one of those things. As Drubal Cabrera, he was a great shortstop earlier in his career. Now he's at second base because the arm's not as strong as it once was.
Yeah, he's a little older, but he can still somewhat hit.
Right. There's answers there. But if you decide, no, we're gonna try to stick with what we've got at second base. I don't know what the payroll looks like for the St. Louis Cardinals, how much money you're going to have available, but there are some serious, and I mean serious, starting pitching available come this free agent market. There obviously is at any year. Justin Verlander is a free agent. Clayton Kershaw is a free agent, yes, but
he's going to go back to LA.
He's going to stay in LA. Max Scherzer is a free agent. Marcus Stroman, Kevin Guzman, Charlie Morton. Zach Greinke is a free agent. There are options available for this St. Louis team. You know what you have with Jack Flaherty and even Miles Michaelis to a certain
extent.
They're
also going to get Dakota Hudson back for this year because you've been out with TJS.
You've got some great young pitching, absolutely. But you've also got, I mean, Adam Wainwright's going to turn 40 next year.
Yeah, he'll still get a one-year deal, though, and be a part of the
rotation. He will, absolutely he will, but you need more because you've tried some young guys in that rotation, guys like Carlos Hernandez, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked at all.
Carlos and Johan Oviedo. Yeah.
Carlos Hernandez pitches for the Royals. Carlos Martinez, Oviedo, it hasn't worked.
Yeah, he'll pitch for the Shanghai Sharks next year or something.
The Shanghai Sharks.
Or just some Korean baseball team making an NBA joke.
That was a
great
NBA joke, honestly. He'll be down there in Cancun.
yeah.
But there's some options. Corey Kluber is an option. He hasn't been great in New York, but he's an option. Danny Duffy, who had a career year, since moving to the Dodgers, he's been okay, but he was great in Kansas City prior to the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You've got options there available for guys that you can go out and get, right? Carlos Martinez is going to be a free agent.
Good. Thank
God. And you're going to be able to dump his $17 million contract.
Good
luck
to any team that signs him. Though knowing the Cardinals' luck, he'll turn into a Cy Young candidate to wherever he goes. He'll figure it out or something.
Noah Syndergaard's a free agent.
Mm.
Does he go back to New York?
I don't know.
He is an ace. He is an ace caliber pitcher, but does he want to go back to New York and play second fiddle to Jacob DeGrom? Does he? That's a legitimate question.
Makes you think. Yeah, I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like, you're kind of comparing. I kind of see that as like an NBA kind of thing where you're just like, all right, well, I want to be the best scoring option on my team, so I want to be, over here. I'm not sure if it's like that in baseball, but I don't know.
The pay certainly is.
That's true.
Are you going to pay Syndergaard like an ace when he's not technically the ace on your staff? When you've got Jacob DeGrom as your legitimate ace, do you want to pay Noah Syndergaard like an ace? You've got to re-sign Noah Syndergaard, Javi Baez, if you so choose.
Yeah.
You've got Francisco Lindor. There's a ton of money to be dealt out for the New York Mets coming up this offseason. Do you decide Noah Syndergaard deserves ace money? And if you don't want to pay him that, then he has a legitimate case to leave. And St. Louis could be a desirable option for him because they do need more starting pitching.
But see, here's the thing. You think he's better than Flaherty?
There's an argument can be made for that, yes.
Yeah. I'd love to talk arguments with you, dude, but we're running a bit short on time here. Royals last night, they've won now. They lose three in a row to St. Louis. Now they've won three in a row now to Kansas City, winning it 3-2. Give the assist to that win to Andrew Benintendi in his play at the plate to end the game. Royals put up single run in the fourth to take the lead. Then both teams traded two runs in the seventh for the offense of the game. And Kansas City wins 3-2. And now we'll look for a sweep today in Kansas City with Mike Minor on the mound for the Royals. And try understanding this game, man. Royals. They lose three in a row to the Cardinals. Who, I probably shouldn't go into it because I'll be here forever. Who are somewhat above average. Then you get the Astros. And you win three in a row against the best team in the AL West. Like, come on. What is this? Who are you and what have you done with the real Royals players?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is the Royals we saw in April, I guess, and they just came back for a four-game series to frustrate Royals fans.
Even more, yeah.
Around the planet, yeah. This is, you know, you want to know who the Royals' biggest fans are right now? The Oakland A's.
That's true.
That is the Royals' biggest fans right now. With this, they've won three in a row, and the A's are now 2.5 games back of the Houston Astros. The Astros have had a stranglehold on the AL on the AL West all year. And now it's just falling apart before their eyes. That is a division that, I mean, there's legitimate anything goes in that AL West. I mean, the Angels are in fourth place in that division and they're only 10 games back at 61-61. You know, you've still got Shohei Ohtani, who's a freak. The Mariners.
Respectfully, yeah.
The Mariners, who, where the hell did the Mariners come from? I didn't expect the Mariners to be very good.
I like that, though, the Mariners being good.
Yeah, they're 5.5 games back, 65-56. The A's, 2.5 games back. What is, baseball is an enigma wrapped inside of a mystery. There's so many analogies you can make for sports, and specifically the game of baseball. Yeah, the Royals won last night because of Andrew Benintendi throwing an absolute dart, you know, circa Alex Gordon out there in left field,
yeah,
throwing a guy out. I love to see that. You know, it did make me miss Alex Gordon a little bit, but, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Alex Gordon at times. I still wish that the Royals would have tried to re-sign Johnny Cueto or Ben Zobrist instead of Alex Gordon after the World Series, but they didn't. It is what it is. But he is. He's an all-time Royals legend, and Andrew Benintendi, you know, sort of pulled the rabbit out of the hat and showed he could do something like that, too. And then my least favorite player on this Royals roster.
Dozier's been hot. He's been hitting home runs left, right, and center, dude.
Yeah, hit a two-run bomb last night to give him the win in the bottom of the seventh. That was the catalyst. That was what won them the game. And then the Royals' pitching has been so good in this series.
Young pitching as well.
Yeah, Brady Singer goes 6 2/3, gives up 2 earned runs, 2 walks, strikes out 6, and then the bullpen just shut the door. You know, Scott Barlow decided to make it interesting. He certainly did. Gave up 3 hits. Didn't give up an earned run somehow. Got the save because of, thankfully, Andrew Benintendi throwing the guy out at home plate.
Yeah, give Benintendi the save and not Barlow.
Yeah, literally. Josh Staumont went a full inning, only allowed 1 hit. Tapia came in and at the end of that 7th inning and got the guy out. So he only pitched 4. He only had 4 pitches. So I guess, but he did his job. He came in and said, hey.
Yes, and it worked out.
You know, Matheny and the pitching coach for the Royals said, hey, you're facing this one guy. Get this one guy out, and we're going to be okay. And that's exactly what he did. They got the job done, and now there's a possibility. Slim, okay? I'm going to go out and say it's a slim possibility that the Royals can catch a sweep tonight against the Houston Astros.
Today.
Today, yeah, it is an afternoon game.
Yeah, 1:10 start.
Yeah, so about an hour from now is when that game's set to first pitch. But I'm not overly confident due to who's on the mound for each respective team. Luis Garcia is pitching for the Astros. He's 9-6 on the year, 3.3 ERA. He's got a whip just over 1.1 versus the Royals, who are strutting out Mike Minor tonight. 8-11 with a 5.35 ERA. And here's a stat that makes me even more nervous about Mike Minor being on the mound tonight. Mike Minor has allowed at least 2 earned runs in 12 of his last 14 starts. So him being on the bump for Kansas City tonight does not give me a lot of confidence that they can get the sweep. Yeah. It really doesn't. He has not pitched well in recent memory for the Royals. He has really, really struggled. And I think that's, hopefully it won't continue, but that's more than likely going to be the case tonight. He pitched well at the beginning of the year, but at 34 years old, maybe just the grind of the season is starting to get to him. In his last 5 starts, he's given up 3 earned runs to St. Louis and 6-0 loss, gave up 4 earned runs to St. Louis and a 4-2 loss, gave up 4 earned runs and a 4-0 loss against the Blue Jays, gave up 2 earned runs against the Chicago White Sox, and his last game that he actually only allowed 1 earned run was against Milwaukee on July 20th. He pitched 6 full innings, gave up 1 earned run. So maybe he can pull a rabbit out of his hat and pitch like that tonight, but I don't think it's likely.
I'll tell you what is likely, though. The fact that it's Thursday and we're on the Rookie Sports Report podcast. That means it's likely now for the Thursday segment here. Therapy Session Thursday. This is a safe place here in our Jock studio. Not sure if it's totally safe now because Tom is looking directly at us, making sure, trying to get us out of here because he has to do his own work. So we're going to make this quick. Anything that's bothering us, whether it be minor, whether it may not be, maybe frustrating, maybe angering, maybe just annoying, we let it all out here. It is a safe space. Is it sports related? Probably not. But who cares? Because it's our podcast.
Mine is. Mine is today.
Yours is sports related?
Yes.
Mine, I guess you could say it's in the neighborhood of sports because it's like with working out. You know, you athletes work out to increase strength and improve and everything. So I went yesterday first for the Would You Rather Wednesday. So you, Logan, are up first for this Therapy Session Thursday here on this August 19th, 2021 on the Rookie Sports Report.
All right, let's do it.
Is it about ESPN Plus?
It is not, no. It's about the NBA.
Ooh.
Okay. Not specifically like the NBA, like the front office and the organization itself, right? I'm not going at Adam Silver's neck again. I have a lot of respect for Adam Silver. It's not about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's about the NBA, and it's about a bunch of sports writers who have no idea what they're talking about.
Sports writers? No. Really?
Everything I've looked at post-NBA draft, right? Because after the NBA draft, every NBA writer comes out with their list of NBA draft grades, and they team, right? They power rank who had the best draft, who had the worst draft. Every article I've looked at, aside from a select few, right? A few outliers have had the Detroit Pistons with a middle-of-the-pack draft. Somewhere in that 11 to 14 range. Some I've had as seen as low as like 18 or 19. What are you talking about? The Detroit Pistons had a top 5, if not top 3 NBA draft. And these people are just being blatantly, belligerently ignorant and ignoring what has been happening. What's been going on in Summer League and what these players have been able to do. Okay? They drafted Cade Cunningham with the first overall pick. That is the obvious selection. That should put you in the top 10 anyway. That is such a good draft just because you got Cade Cunningham. He's the obvious number one pick. He's the best player in the draft. He is a potential franchise cornerstone for 10 plus years. He's that good. He can shoot. He can rebound. He can pass. He can score at the rim. He can shoot the mid-range. He can do everything well. He's a great defender, and he's got just an ignorant size at the point guard position at 6'8", 6'10" plus wingspan. The guy has all the tools to be able to be a superstar in the NBA. That in and of itself should put you in the top 10 range. And then they went out, and they drafted a guy like Isaiah Livers from Michigan. And no, the guy's not a superstar caliber player. Never said he was. But he's got respectable numbers in college, and he can shoot like nobody's business. For his career, he shot 41.2% at Michigan in 4 years. His last season at Michigan, he shot 43% from behind the three-point line. The guy's a great shooter. He shoots, on average, 85.6% from the free throw line for his career. Now, he's not a volume scorer by any means. His career high in points per game was his senior year last season at Michigan. He averaged 13 points a game. But you've got a guy like Cade Cunningham that is so good at the drive and kick, his ability to get inside, find guys. Isaiah Livers at the corner, shooting corner threes, perfect. And then they decide to go out and they grab the best player in college basketball. And Luka Garza. Yes, I might be biased, okay, as an Iowa Hawkeye fan. But I don't feel like I'm that biased in saying Luka Garza, over the last two seasons, was the best player in college basketball. There shouldn't be an argument that can be made for that. His junior year at Iowa, he averaged 23.9 points a game and 9.8 rebounds. While shooting 58.9% from the three from inside the arc, he shot 36% from outside the arc. And then he just decides to go out last season in his last year at Iowa, scores 24.1 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, shooting 58.1% from inside the three-point line and 44% from behind the arc at 7 foot tall. And you're able to snag the best player in college basketball at number 52 overall. And all Cade Cunningham and Luka Garza did was put up stupid numbers in the summer league. Both of those guys were named all summer league second team. Luka Garza earned himself a two-way contract with the Detroit Pistons. There is a lot to be excited about if you're a Detroit Pistons fan.
It should have been a guaranteed contract in Garza's case.
Probably should have been. I agree with you 100%. But I understand where they're coming from. You know, they didn't want to give him an outright NBA contract because they want to be able to do a little bit more, right? Be able to, if they can develop Garza a little bit more. Because for people that aren't Iowa fans may not be aware that this man works. He works his tail off. He lost 30 pounds in 2 months leading up to the draft, the NBA draft combine. 30 pounds to get faster, to get a little bit more bouncy, right? He's able to finish at the rim a little bit better. He dunked more in the summer league than I ever saw him do in Iowa in 4 years because he lost that weight. He's able to get a little bit higher off. He's able to increase his vertical due to that. He's able to get up and down the floor a little bit more. But the guy just works his tail off. He's going to go 100% at all times, and that was evident throughout the summer league. So I would like for some of these writers to go ahead and re-rank their draft grades, re-rank their team rankings post-NBA draft.
Maybe they will.
Because this Detroit Pistons team put together a great draft with those three guys. Now, their fourth pick, Balsa Koprovica, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I never even saw the guy play. So, but those three guys, in and of itself, make a tremendous draft. Why is it that they're just being overlooked due to that? They put together a great team. That is those three guys. I'm not saying that Cade Cunningham is going to be a superstar, obviously. I'm not saying that Garza and Levers are going to be superstars in the NBA.
But based on what they did in college, yeah, they've had a fantastic draft.
Isaiah Levers can have a very similar role to what I would say Kyle Korver was able to do throughout his career. What Duncan Robinson is doing right now for the Miami Heat. Okay, and Luka Garza, I think, can fill the role of a guy like a Jonas Valanciunas or a Jusuf Nurkic, a Enes Kanter, a Brooke Lopez, a guy like that.
Shot, yeah,
a guy like that that's able to step outside and shoot. He can rebound. He can score inside. He's not a great defender. He's not a great athlete, okay? But we've seen that you don't need to be a great athlete to succeed as a big in the NBA, okay? Look at the MVP. Nikola Jokic is not a great athlete.
Right.
But he was the best player in the NBA last year. He was voted MVP. And then 2K gave him a 95 rating in NBA 2K22, which is stupid. That pisses me off.
Stupid high or stupid low?
Stupid low. He's the MVP. He should be at least a 97. And then you give LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant 96 overalls. Those three are the tied for the highest overall players in the game. And Giannis, those four are all 96 overalls. What? What are we talking about?
I don't know, dude.
They're the best players in the NBA. They should be 99, 98 overalls. I don't think there should be a discussion made otherwise.
Right.
But Luka Garza and Isaiah Levers can find a role in the NBA because that's what it's about. You know, there are 20 or 25 guys that can just flat out do it all. They can do multiple things, and those guys are superstars in the NBA. Then the rest of these guys need to find one or two things that they're good at and hammer that. Okay, Luka Garza is a great rebounder, and he's a great scorer. Take those two things and hammer that. Okay, he's not going to dunk over the top of anybody. No, but he's got about 1,000 post moves to be able to get by you and get to the bucket or get a foul and go to the free throw line. That's what he's able to do. Isaiah Levers is a good perimeter defender. It was seen throughout his time in college at Michigan, and he can shoot the basketball. You do those two things and you hammer it, you can find a role in the NBA, and that can help this Detroit Pistons team win a lot of games, because this Detroit Pistons team has a lot of potential in a very, very young roster that they can work and develop into a possible playoff contender. It can happen.
Let's hope they develop him correctly, because, I mean, it is Detroit. So, mine, not as in-depth as yours, but like I said, part of my workout chronicles, I know I spent at least two therapy sessions Thursdays, or at least one, talking about how, you know, Karen from the suburbs or whatever, 50 years old, leather purse, whatever, I digress, walks the outside line of the track. Well, I've got a new entry here. Now, this is in the weight room, though. So, before
trying to get big?
Trying to get stronger, not really big, because I've been big before. I've been fat. Now,
okay, you knew what I meant.
I know. But, you know, some weightlifting helps with weight loss, but I digress. So, before I get into it, you know what an abdominal machine is, right? Like, you put your elbows on top of two pads, and you crunch down your abs with a certain amount of weight, right?
Yep.
So, on Monday, I was doing my machine. I do, 10 reps three times. And for every set, I add 10 pounds. So, I did, 110, 120, and 130 for my abs for 10 reps. I'm on, my third set of reps, and I finish them. And, dude, it's, I'm getting lightheaded. I'm pushing myself. I'm grinding. Trying to, like you said, get big. I finish my set, and I feel something poke at me. On my lower back. So I, turn around, and there's, this old lady, 60, 70 years old, no earphones in, come up to me and just,
sir, you're not supposed to be slamming the weights. You're kind of annoying the people in here. You just gotta, if you could be a little bit more quieter about it, you know. It's really annoying. I don't mean to be rude or anything.
And I just I am befuddled. I am flabbergasted at this statement at the time. But I just kind of turn around to all right, ma'am, you know what? I'll try to. Thank you, whatever. And then the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I got upset about it. And that made me work out even better. Because, people in that weight room do it way worse than I do. And they do have a thing up there where it's, gym etiquette, don't slam weights. Well, I'm pretty sure that's for, free weights. You know, guys that will, deadlift or, squat and then, throw the damn bar to the ground and it just goes, you know, it just makes that loud noise yep. in a weight room. I'm pretty sure that's what it's meant for. But with me, I am abbing 130 pounds. It's hard for me to crunch it down and then ease it back up. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. It's tough. So at times I'll just do it and then I'll just immediately let my abs retract. And yeah, it may be a little loud. But this lady was wearing no earphones, no nothing. Like I said, 60 years old, probably listens to music on a cassette tape in her 1987 Nissan whatever. Give me a break. And she's she tells me to be quiet about my weights while she's doing my same abdominal machine at 40 pounds or 50 pounds. And she's just just doing light work, basically. Just doing light work compared to what I'm doing. And rightfully so, she's like I said, 67 years old, and I'm a healthy or healthy-ish 22-year-old trying to improve myself. But no, that really upset me because no one has ever told me hey, you're being too loud. Because usually, dude, people will have, earphones in. They're more focused on what they're doing than what others are doing.
Yeah, just
give me a break.
People need to mind their own.
Give me a break, lady. My gosh.
Mind your own business.
Let me make my gains, and you make whatever gains you're making. I don't know what you have to gain at 60 or 70 or whatever, but
You're not hurting anybody.
No.
And it's one of those things, like you said, that's a lot of weight to have on there. It really is. I don't know. I always remember those bicep machines, right? Where you would sit down and the bar's up above your head and you're pulling it down.
Yeah.
And you got to let it back up. Well, if I let it down, right? If I let the weight back down lightly, that hurt worse.
Oh, yeah.
Than even pulling it down in the first place, letting it back up. And if you let it down fast, that doesn't hurt as bad.
Yeah.
And like for me, I'm a pretty little guy. So when I would do that, and if I would let it back up lightly, occasionally, if depending on how much weight I had on there, like it would legitimately like take me back up with it.
Yeah.
Like I would end up off the ground because of that. I was like, I'm not doing this.
And like
for
I
that.
Said, it was the third set, my third and last set. Cause like I said, I go like three sets of 10, and for every set, I increase it 10 pounds. So I'm at 130, almost like having the weight of you, no offense.
Yep.
I'm like doing that, and I'm doing it my third set. I'm not going to be gentle about it. I'm trying to, you know, let's get this in. Mind your own business, people. Focus on your workout, not mine. That's the motto for today's episode. Focus on you, not me. All right. Tom's about to sweet chin music the door here and kick us out. So we're going to get out of here. This has been the Thursday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast for
Logan Weber
and Matthew Rizzo. I'll talk to you guys on Friday.
Bye.